Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the New Testament book of Matthew. You may send your questions by email through our website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. Or you may mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. And now, here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We are continuing in our study in Matthew chapter 9. We have just seen the woman touch the hem of Christ's garment, and she was healed at that very moment completely. After 12 years of spending everything she had upon the doctors and having no help. But then when Christ was near her and she touched the tassels of his prayer shawl, the hem of his garment, she was made whole. Wow, we have been studying here in Matthew 8 and 9 all sorts of healings, all sorts of miracles that Jesus Christ had done. We're about to see one here of Christ raising the dead. So let's begin. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 23. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, this is the house of Jairus, ruler of the synagogue in Capernaum, and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Throughout the region, Jesus was being proclaimed as a healer. There were others proclaiming him as the Messiah, no doubt, by this point. But here, he had been called by the ruler of the synagogue, and he went into the house, and he saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. Now, we don't do it quite this way. But if you have ever seen, after some sort of a death in the Middle East, someone passes away, whether a leader or an individual or whatever, you see all these people screaming and crying as loudly as they can, and they make a tumult that just stops everything. They are so loud in their efforts to make a good mourning. Perhaps you've been to some receiving of friends, wakes, or funerals that have had loud mourners. But you've never, unless you've been to the Middle East, you've never, ever seen it like it was here when Christ went in to this house. In most Middle Eastern settings then and now, you find people being loud. But in those days, they would actually hire people to come in and make wailing noises and to cry and to give plenty of noise so it would look like there was enough sorrow with the loved ones passing. Now, you know, again, that's sort of foreign to what we do, but that's how they did it. These minstrels were not minstrels as in a minstrel show or anything of the sort that you might have heard of in U.S. style. But these were people with flutes. They would come with their flutes and they would play dirges, some sort of slow, lamenting kind of song. And they would make more noise, and that was part of the process, making that noise. And so the minstrels and the people making a noise, those are the ones that were hired and those that were not hired, those that were truly grieving. And Christ told them, said, give place. Let me have room here. Move out of the way, because the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. Now, her death was real. He was not minimizing her death. He was saying that her death was temporary. Now, how do you say that? Excuse me, this girl's death is temporary. Now, we don't think of it that way. Of course, all death is temporary in the strictest of senses, but it's not temporary in the earth-time continuum. It is permanent in the earth-time continuum, but death here was temporary. She was soon to be raised from the dead. And so he said, she's not dead, she's just resting, she's just sleeping. And what did they do? They laughed our Savior to scorn. They didn't believe him. Now, did that shake the faith of Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue? No, I don't think so. Now, the reason I don't think so is because Christ continued and raised this girl from the dead. So when the people were put forth, that means they were placed out of there. They were not in there, so their noise was not there. They were not there. Christ went in. He took her by the hand. We don't have anything here where he said arise or anything. We may have that in the other Gospels. But here, he just took her by the hand, and she came forth from the dead. He raised her back to life. Hallelujah. Indeed. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land, because this happened in the house of a ruler, a leader in the synagogue, in Jairus's house. And all of a sudden, you can't keep things quiet when it happens in certain locations. You know, you can if it happened in my house, perhaps, but in Jairus's house, there are too many people around and too many people know him because he has a great following. He's a great leader. And so all of a sudden, we see that happening. Now, Jairus, remember, had worshiped Jesus Christ, acknowledging the fact that he is God. Wow, this thing gets really good as we go through this portion of Scripture. Now in verse 27, And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. Now, once again, he is healing according to their faith. They believed he could heal them. They believed they would have perfect sight. And that's what happened. Their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. They couldn't keep quiet. They were blind, but now they could see. They were blind, but now they had their sight. Now, they were following him. Now, they were blind men, maybe with sticks, maybe not, but they were following him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Now, once again, just like Son of Man is a title for the Messiah, this Thou Son of David is a title for the Messiah as well. And they're crying out for mercy. Now, I've been in third world countries, and one in particular I'm thinking of, where they had some blind folks that were walking in the streets. Now, the streets are not paved, and they're very rutted, and it's all just dirt and some gravel and lots of rocks and all sorts of things. And they had little canes, blind canes, to help guide them, but they were holding on to each other. And so here you are, four feet walking, two sets of feet walking together in the street. They were helping each other. They were doing the same kind of thing here. Son of David, have mercy on us. And so he came into the house. We don't know which house. It's not told us in the book of Matthew. Check the other synoptics and find out. The blind men came to him, and Jesus saith to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do it?" And they said, "Yes, Lord. We wouldn't be calling out for you unless we believed it." So he touched their eyes. Now he's spoken, he's lifted people, he's touched their hands, he's worked with them in various ways, he's touched people. Well, here he touches their eyes. And he said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus very emphatically charged them, "Don't let anybody know what has gone on. Don't tell them." But they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. Now, this incident is only in Matthew's gospel, at least in this fashion for sure. We see a reference in Luke chapter 11, verses 14 through 26. But the fact that they were calling out, "Thou son of David," is unique to Matthew's gospel. This messianic designation that we've spoken of, this messianic title. And so apparently they had already placed their faith in Jesus as the Messiah before they ever came for healing. Now we see in the entire story of Christ the Messiah, Jesus Christ the Messiah, we see a story of those that believed after miracles. Apparently they had already believed before the miracle. And so that's very heartening to me to know that they had believed before the miracle took place. Let's look at verse 32. "As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man, possessed with a devil." Dumb means could not speak. Deaf is could not hear. Dumb is could not speak. "And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said," and I love this where the Pharisees come in, "He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. Beelzebub is how he does it." No. What kind of stupid is that? What kind of silly is that? To say that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the heir to all, that he would throw the devils out by working for the devil. Why would that be possible? How would that be possible in any event? These guys were just grasping because they didn't know what was going on and they refused to come and to learn. They were not Nicodemus. Okay? Nicodemus learned. Joseph of Arimathea, part of the Sanhedrin, learned. They were both Pharisees. They knew who Jesus was, at least by the time of his crucifixion. They certainly knew who he was. He is the Messiah. But these Pharisees, characterized as the Pharisees, they made a blasphemous charge against Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ, God, the Son. Now, what did he do? We see that he cast out a devil that was in this man who could not speak. And the man was healed. And the multitudes are marveling because they have never seen it this way. They have never seen this kind of thing happen. And so here it is. And they are excited about it. Now we go on with verse 35. "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The connection between spiritual evil and physical illness is illustrated here. We see the dumb man possessed with the devil and healed when the devil is thrown out. And so we know that while the Pharisees didn't believe it and they thought that Satan was in charge of Jesus' operation, of course we already know that's not the case. He passed the temptations with no problem at all. Jesus Christ was perfect and perfectly correct, perfectly whole in all things. Now, these people that were in the cities and villages, the multitudes coming to him were fainting. Now, what does that mean? They were distressed. They were sheep having no shepherd. And that is from the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament in Numbers 27:17. Now, verses 37 and 38 constitute one of the greatest missionary passages of the New Testament. Jesus shows us as the world is a great spiritual harvest in need of laborers to gather it in, to bring it in to the storehouse. Again, here's the verse, Then saith he unto his disciples, and I would say, and he says it to us, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Notice it's his harvest. It's not our harvest, it's his harvest. He's the one that gives the increase. He's the one that brings in the souls. He's the one that brings the harvest to fulfillment. And we are to be the laborers. So we need to be praying. That's the command. Pray ye therefore. You pray because the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. You pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest field. Let's go to chapter 10. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he's already called his 12 by now, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is the Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. That's the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.